Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. Are you looking for the best way to promote your podcast? It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your ideal target audience. That's right, listeners of similar podcasts. Podbean has the best and most cost-effective options for you. Just go to the website sponsorship.podbean.com/STR. That's right. Your friends here at Scout Team Radio are hooking you up. Go to sponsorship.podbean.com/STR and you will get the best deals to get your podcast rolling. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy Scout Team Radio.
Yeah.
You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. We straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every weekday, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
And the man on the other microphone, he is a great patriot. He loves America and he loves Canada.
America, America.
Yeah, it's your boy Chris America coming to you live this Wednesday, this beautiful hump day. It is time to get started with some hot, hot news out of the NFL. Loudbeard, everybody talks about how good the NFL is at being a year-round sport, and it's no truer than free agency time this year. I feel like this is the hottest free agency time we've had in a really long time.
Yeah, this has been a roller coaster whirlwind, heck of a week for us here at free agency. I mean, last night, big news breaking, completely spun my head. I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. And I love NFL free agency, and every year it's exciting. But this year seems to be like one of those years that has topped it more than any other year. There has been big move after big move, big name after big name moving to different teams. This has been fun.
Yeah, it really has been, and as a long, long time Browns fan, like probably the biggest Browns fan out of all of the radio show hosts here on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, I couldn't be more excited.
Oh yeah, big time. That goes for both of us. This whole show, this is a big time Browns radio show, so we're gonna go focus in on what the listeners want to hear. They're like, these guys are big time Browns fans, let's talk about the Browns.
Big time Browns radio here.
Big time, big time, big time. The big news coming out of last night, and you knew we would start with it, and you knew it was the big news, and that is OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., is the newest member of our Cleveland Browns. How are you feeling, Chris America?
My question this morning isn't if we'll win a Super Bowl, it's how many.
Yeah, not one,
not two, not three.
Where's LeBron at when you need him? LeBron should be out there with Dwayne Wade right now at the press conference, getting these guys off to the right start like he did when he did that whole decision thing, because he knows how to do this. Him and OBJ, they could be doing that chant right now. Not one Super Bowl, not two Super Bowls, not three Super Bowls. I don't know. The number could be forever. They're the new Patriots. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure, the new Patriots, without a doubt. I mean, you look at this team. You got Landry, you got OBJ, you got Baker Mayfield, and you have Kareem Hunt whenever he becomes available. And this does kind of feel like it should be hyped up like the Miami Heat were, how they went from just one good player to now you've infused two or three other different really good offensive players.
Oh, yeah, this is a big move. I mean, I would say that for Cleveland Browns fans, we've talked about this on the show quite a bit about how this franchise has struggled over the years, and it's kind of a snake bit franchise. They've had so many bad games and bad situations, the fumble, the drive, but now guess what? They have the trade, and this is the trade heard around the world that has put the Browns back on the map. So they are going to go into this season knowing that they have an actual legitimate chance of making a run. And that, to me, is worth its weight in gold for Cleveland Browns fans because it has been tough. It has been tough. And last season, they saw a glimmer of hope when Baker Mayfield walked out onto that field. And now putting Baker Mayfield, one of the most electric young quarterbacks in the NFL, with the best, if not the top three wide receiver in all of the NFL with OBJ, I can see some good things happening out there on the field. I'm just ready for some circus catches. I'm that first week one, Odell Beckham better be doing a backflip catch because that's what I expect to see.
It's going to be a Baker Mayfield scramble, dodging two or three guys, flailing it up into the air, and then the circus catch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be it's going to be so legendary. It's not even we're not even able to describe it on radio because OBJ brings that to this team. He brings that electricity. And right now, the most hyped fan base in all of the NFL has to be that Cleveland Browns fan base. And what does this mean for Cleveland? Now, we say that, you know, one guy doesn't make this big of a difference for a team where they go from, you know, 6 wins to 12 wins. Typically, one guy can't do that unless it's a Peyton Manning-type quarterback or a Tom Brady-type quarterback that comes in and does that. But this does set up continued success for this team that at the end of last season, they started getting some wins under their belt. They started showing it. So this ownership group and the general manager, John Dorsey, he goes out and he's aggressive. He gets OBJ. They've picked up Sheldon Richardson, who is a kind of a low-key good pickup on the defensive line. And they're trying to make some good moves to get Cleveland excited and get this team going in the right direction. Now, new head coach, you know, you got a little bit of a worry there. But this one signing, OBJ, this right here is the number one, or I guess trade, not signing, but the number one move this offseason. This trumps Antonio Brown. This trumps Le'Veon Bell. This trumps it all. OBJ is the biggest move this offseason.
Yeah, and that's because the other half is there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of other pieces at the team that he went to where, you know, Antonio Brown went to a team. You're like, okay, so he went to the Raiders. The Raiders are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They don't have anything else around him, and we're not too sure where Carr sits at right now. Is he going to be that Pro Bowl quarterback he was 2 years ago, or is he just going to continue to be average to below average? And you look at the Le'Veon Bell signing. We'll report where he went next after this. But you look at the Le'Veon Bell signing, the team he's going to, young quarterback, not much else around him other than the young quarterback and a lot of hope. But here, we mentioned it. We have Kareem Hunt whenever he comes back. We have Landry. We have Baker Mayfield. You got a pretty stellar defense on the other side of the football that played well. And you mentioned that they're not going to go from 6 to 12, but I got to disagree with that, Loudbeard. Not because of this just this one move, but you got to remember that Baker Mayfield didn't start till week 2. He's got a whole year under his belt. That's a whole lot of experience. And then you throw in a wide receiver where they lost a lot of games or they even tied a game where they only lost by 4 or 5 points. They lost by a touchdown. OBJ could be that touchdown in a lot of those games.
He definitely could be that touchdown. And I want to stand corrected. They had 7 wins last year. So,
oh, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah. Don't want
to 7-12.
Them. Seven wins and one tie.
So if they go from 7 wins and one tie to 10-win season or an 11-win season, all of a sudden they're in the playoffs and anything can happen. So I do think OBJ can take them to that point. Now, OBJ didn't always necessarily equal wins in New York. That's the only caveat I have there. So, but
yeah, but again, that's kind of what I talked about, though, because New York is the same as the Raiders and the team that we haven't announced yet where Le'Veon Bell went to, which is funny. I feel like we're able to break that story because unless you woke up and checked your phone, which I'm sure most people did, but he didn't announce it till 12:32 in the morning. But the Giants are in the same spot as the Raiders. Antonio Brown going to the Raiders is just like OBJ being at the Giants. There's only so much a wide receiver can do if he doesn't have the pieces. And I think all of the other pieces around OBJ help. And somewhere in the world, Tim Couch is looking at this going, what the hell, man? Why couldn't you give this to me when I was there?
No. Being a big-time Brown show, we know that Tim Couch is a legend in Cleveland Brown circles. But now, Baker Mayfield's legendary status may leap over Tim Couch because he has that ultimate weapon. It's like, I'm going to go nerd out on you a little bit. It's like in the Infinity War when Thor lost his hammer and he was felt hopeless. Well, then he gets that big giant axe.
He comes OBJ, back with a lot of confidence.
OBJ, yes, it gives you a lot of confidence, gives you a little extra power. Lightning bolts fly out of your eyeballs. That's Baker Mayfield. He got his axe. He's ready to take it and put it through Thanos' heart. And that Thanos is Bill Belichick.
You got to go for the head. Just remember, all you have to do is go for the head.
That's great advice in life.
Yeah, always headshot.
Go for the headshot. All right, so a little bit about this deal. We talked about how great it is for the Browns, but Browns are giving up a pretty good amount of assets here. They got a first rounder and a third rounder that they're sending over to New York, and they're sending over Jabril Peppers, who is a first round draft pick, and he was a dynamic player, a little disappointing on the NFL level. I don't think Cleveland ended up getting out of him what they thought they were going to get out of him because he was that utility type player at the college football level, and he could do a little bit of everything. But none of it really translated into being a great player on the NFL level. So the Giants are getting a young, talented player in Peppers and a first and a third. Do you think the Giants got enough in return for OBJ in this trade?
I don't know. It's tough to say because I didn't even know they were looking to shop OBJ. Like, you kind of knew it last year, but then they made this whole commitment to sticking it out with OBJ and everything else like that. But then this trade just kind of drops and it comes out of nowhere. Right?
It does come out of nowhere. There wasn't any whispers about it. Usually you hear something, right? Like there's a, here's who's being shopped around. OBJ's on that trading block, anything like that. And this was so silent. Now, were we distracted by Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and all the other free agency news? Maybe. But this is usually a big story when it's a guy of the caliber of OBJ. So, yeah, it kind of came out and hit us. Now, this has been kind of rumbling last year and the year before. You're right. We've heard OBJ trade rumors circling. So it's not a surprise as far as that goes, but the timing is a little bit of a surprise. Now I look at this and I say, what are the Giants' plans? Is this full rebuild? Do we go, we're drafting a young quarterback? Are we moving forward in the future? And if so, is it the right time to do that? Because you've got Saquon Barkley, who's really hitting his stride as a running back, but you're going to rebuild at quarterback because now you don't have any tools. Like, what other wide receiver weapons do the Giants have for Eli? I mean, this could be kind of a bad season for the Giants. I feel like they've already thrown in the towel.
Yeah, I mean, the trade appears to be a full rebuild trade. You know, the first and the third, that tells me rebuild. When you get rid of your star wide receiver for a first and a third, and then the safety Jabril Peppers, that's obviously to try to make up for the Landon Collins loss there. I don't know if it's good or bad for a rookie quarterback to come in and not have anybody to throw to other than Saquon Barkley. Maybe they thought, if we bring in a rookie, we don't want OBJ messing with his head. We don't want OBJ running things. We need a rookie to kind of come in and gain confidence and leadership, and OBJ would just ruin that for him. I mean, look, they got a better deal than what the Steelers got for Antonio Brown, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. I mean, that deal, still, it just doesn't sit well. I feel like the Steelers, man, they could have negotiated something better than that.
When you look at what the Raiders got for Cooper, and then you look at what the Giants got for Odell, I mean, they totally sold Antonio Brown at a much discounted price. And I think that's the Steelers' fault. The Steelers were the ones that kind of came out and said, we're looking to move him. We're going to do it. They didn't sit there and play hardball and say, we don't have to move him. We have 3 years under contract. No, they pretty much announced right away, like, hey, we're going to move the Steelers, or we're going to move Antonio Brown. And then didn't you say the week before or the week leading up to, they're like, we want to get this done by Friday.
Yes,
why don't
they
you
did.
Just why don't you just say, hey, he's on the clearance rack right now.
And that's what it was. And that's yeah. what, that was the clearance deal. With OBJ,
it, made no
because,
it really made no sense.
Yeah. And this is the quietness of this deal was because the New York Giants, they understand. If you come out and advertise that a guy's for sale, all of a sudden everybody's giving you bargain bin deals. But if a guy's not on the trade market and not on the trade block and somebody gives you a call, all of a sudden you have that leverage. And the Giants had the leverage. They said, all right, let me take one of these, and one of these, and maybe we can make this deal work. And Cleveland Browns, they said, we'd be happy to oblige because they knew this guy was such a talent that they were willing to give it up. So this is what premier wide receivers that are young and talented, you should be getting a first-round pick for. We saw it with Amari Cooper. We're now seeing it with OBJ. This is the going rate. So for the Steelers to only get a third and a fifth, to me, that's just unnecessary and bad management at that point.
Yeah, you definitely got to be looking at the Steelers fan and think, what the heck are we doing? What is going on here? And a funny thing, I'm reading the Odell Beckham Jr. story right now. They signed him to that five-year, $80 million extension last August. And Gettleman said then, we didn't sign Odell to trade him. That's all I need to say. He said that on February 27th, 13 days ago. And here we are.
Yeah.
Life comes at you fast in the NFL, man.
Yeah, nobody's safe. Nobody's ever safe. This is a business. Trades happen, and I mean, I guess it's all fair in love and business. That's what they say, something like that.
Well, now, you can definitely tell the Cleveland Browns, they're in win-now mode. They're done building through the draft. They're done trading for draft picks and all that other stuff. They're now trading for players, and it looks like the Giants are assuming that Cleveland Browns' role of collecting draft picks, trying to draft as many guys as you can, and build that way.
Now, we talked about that Steelers-Raiders move being bad. Just as a side note, are you starting to get a little bit more respect for John Gruden on all the great moves he's making in Oakland?
If John Gruden was the GM, I would love all of his moves. He would be making some brilliant moves. Now, I mean, he's gotten a lot back in as far as like draft picks goes, but Antonio Brown's the only player that of note that he's acquired. I want to see what he does in the draft and see how that pans out, because he still has to spend these draft picks. He can squander it still. He can still make it all look bad.
This is a good point. This is a good point. All right, well, I do want to move on because there was other big breaking news that we alluded to, and that is Le'Veon Bell, that other big marquee free agent. He finally makes his decision, Chris.
Yeah, he drops his mixtape. That's the big news, right? That was the big announcement last night. I mean, he announced his team, but the bigger announcement is that he's dropping a mixtape. I think this album's going to be fire. There might even be a Steelers diss track on there. It's going to be dope. Kids still say that, right? Kids still say it's going to be dope?
Yeah, I might go up to the, what was it, Sam Goody's or something like that, where they sold CDs. Do they still
the
have
Sam
those Goody's Best Buy?
Sam Goody still exist?
I
think
remember
the Apple Podcast or Apple iTunes.
There's a place in the mall when I was a kid. It was called Tape World.
Wasn't there something called Ash? Something Ash?
There's a Sam Ash, but I think that's more
Sam
instruments.
Ash.
But
oh,
I think they sold music, too, yeah. But anyway, we'll go to one of those stores if they still exist and go out and buy that mixtape, because that sounds hot.
Sounds hot.
That's the only news coming out of Le'Veon
Bell. Well, I mean, he announced that he signed with the Jets, but I mean, who cares about that? I mean, mixtape.
What?
Yeah, man.
He signed with the what?
The J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Oh, man.
Look out, Tom Brady. Look out, Bill Belichick. They're coming for you.
Yeah. Gosh, the Jets, they're looking hot. 4 years, $52.5 million going to Le'Veon Bell. He joins the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. We saw this kind of coming because there was discussion about it, but wow, big, big time signing for the New York Jets. They're back, right?
Not quite. We've seen this move from the Jets before, right? Where they've had like a really good running back, but then they don't really build anything around it. But the biggest takeaway from this, and you're going to hear it all day long today, so we'll be the first ones to start off with it, how underwhelming that contract is.
Yeah, that it's the position, though. You're seeing these other positions getting big-time money. A quarterback would make twice that in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And the running back, we just don't value them the way they do. They probably deserve to be valued. But this is better than what we saw 3, 4, 5 years ago. The running back position 15 years ago was one of the most valuable positions. Then all of a sudden, once you got that running back by committee and all these young guys coming out, it seems like the running back position almost became obsolete. People weren't valuing it. And then it just started resurging the last couple years. So he's kind of lucky to even get this kind of deal based on where the market was just a few years ago. But $52.5 million, I mean, I don't think I'd be disappointed with that amount of money. Now, I didn't look to see what the guarantees were. I don't know if that was in the reports or not. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it.
It's $35 million guaranteed. He can make up to $61.5 million with incentives. I think the reason why it's going to be underwhelming is because it's nowhere near as big. I wouldn't say nowhere near. It's just slightly under what he would have been given with the Steelers. What the Steelers reportedly offered him, he would have made $14 million with the Steelers. He's only going to make $13 million a year. The Steelers contract was for 5 years. This one's for four. He missed out on a paycheck all year last year. So he gambled on himself. And I was a big proponent of, hey, you do you. You gamble on yourself, but I got to say, he lost the gamble.
Yeah, this doesn't end up being as big of a payday. Now, all those reports of those offers by the Steelers, you know, you look at those, and you also got to look at things like guarantees, and there's other stipulations in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the Steelers were willing to put as much money down on the guaranteed side. And honestly, I just think that that relationship was already torn. The trust was broken. Bell wanted them to pay him from the beginning, and it just, the whole franchise tag thing year in and year out, it became just a bad relationship. So sometimes, you know, no matter how good the benefits are, sometimes once you lose that trust, it's done. And that's where Le'Veon Bell was in that situation.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, that it seems like it was more of a problem with what's going on in Pittsburgh. And now you have Le'Veon Bell who wanted out, Antonio Brown who wanted out. Is it just those two guys are just bad apples, or is there more? Are they right? Or is there more going on in Steelers Nation that we don't know about, that we can't see? Is there something going on with Big Ben? Is there something going on, you know, with the coaching staff, with the management, with the ownership? I don't know, man. It seems odd that two guys at the height of their game would want to leave a good, solid, for the most part, until last year, a guaranteed playoff team, Super Bowl contender, and that two really good players would want to jump ship on that.
Yeah, you do have to question it, right? You have to question what's going on in Pittsburgh. Now, they're kind of one of those franchises that has always done so well and always been so respected, but they don't always take care of their players. It's kind of one of those situations. When I look back at guys that were at the peak of their career that had left, and there's actually a pretty good amount of them. A guy like Santonio Holmes, he ends up leaving. Now, they may not value that diva player, that wide receiver or that running back, but they've had some guys jump ship in the past. Plaxico Burress, being another one that comes to mind. So when I think about it, I'm thinking Plaxico Burress left when he was kind of at the height of his career. Santonio Holmes left when he was at the height of his career. Antonio Brown's leaving kind of at the height of his career. But when these guys leave, not Antonio Brown, we don't know yet, but the other guys, they kind of fell off in their careers. So maybe the Steelers are just looking at the future and saying, we've gotten the best out of these guys. Now it's time to move on. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell. Maybe they're thinking, okay, we've gotten the best out of them. Now we can move on and we'll get another young guy like a James Conner where we bring him up and we groom him and he can be the next big name that comes out of Pittsburgh. So they're grooming up their young talent and moving on from their past due talent. Or maybe they're just a bunch of jerks and players hate them. Either or, it's something like that's going on.
Yeah, I can't say Plaxico Burress fell off because he was really good with the Giants. It's just he decided to take a gun at a club and accidentally shoot himself in the leg and end up in prison for 2 years. So, I mean, they missed out on that, but maybe he's not in that club if he's in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Maybe that doesn't happen. It's butterfly effect here. Where Santonio Holmes, I'll give you that to him a little bit. His yards definitely decreased because he had 1,200 yards his last season with the Steelers. Went down to 746 his first year with the Jets, but he remained productive in touchdowns the first 2 years with the Jets with 6 and 8 respectively. And then the downfall definitely came in his third year with the Jets. But, I mean, he was already 6 or 7 seasons in, which is where Antonio Brown is at right now. He's long and deep into his career, and maybe you're right. Maybe the Steelers are just, they don't want to pay for it, and it's worked out for them so far. And nobody gives the Patriots crap for doing this same kind of thing, but that's also because the Patriots have 6 Super Bowls in the last 20 years.
Yep.
Because the Patriots are known for doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, and it's a smart way to do business. And I can't fault them for that. I can't fault the Steelers.
Yeah,
I can't fault the Patriots.
It works.
It works, right?
Even with these moves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so we'll see if the
Steelers are still productive.
Yeah, we're going to see if the Steelers can plug in somebody else like they had been. You mentioned Plaxico Burress and Santonio Holmes, and the passing game to me never faltered. If anything, it rose gradually throughout Big Ben's career because they plugged in new guys, and you saw they lost those guys, and then they ended up with Antonio Brown and some other good playmakers. Now they got Juju Smith-Schuster, and we'll see what they can do. We'll see if we can give them a compliment receiver like they gave Antonio Brown.
I hope so. So I want to talk about the Jets a little bit here, a little bit more about what they're doing. They're being quite aggressive. I think they've been the most aggressive team in this free agency period. Now, they pick up the big offensive weapon in Bell, but they also, on the defensive side, have made some good moves. The big name is C.J. Mosley, the big-time linebacker coming over from Baltimore. So they pick up that. So now they've added a really great piece on the defensive side, added a really great piece on the offensive side. Now they were trying to bolster their offensive line. They went hard after Matt Paradise, but he ends up going with the Panthers, your Panthers. So they miss out on him. And Anthony Barr, this is another kind of precarious situation that the Jets got themselves into. Anthony Barr, linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings, commits to sign with the Jets and then pulls the old back out at the last minute and goes back with the Vikings. I'll call that the DeAndre Jordan move. And so the Jets end up missing out. So even though they've missed out on a couple players, they still got one of the biggest defensive names and one of the biggest offensive names. So Jets are making some splashes here in free agency.
Yeah, the AFC is making a lot of big moves, aren't they? I feel like a lot of the bottom teams are making moves finally. And hopefully we get to see the shuffle of the deck, Loudbeard. A lot has been made about the parity of the NFL. And one of the ways that I like to kind of, I'm not going to call it a full-blown myth, but it's kind of a myth. It's an overstated thing that there's a ton of parity in the NFL. Because on the AFC side, Loudbeard, we have had a total of four quarterbacks make it to the Super Bowl in the last 15 years. And when you take out the year that Joe Flacco went, you really only have 3 that have made it to the Super Bowl. 14 out of the last 15 years. And that is Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger. And to me, that's insane to think about. When you think about it, 2003, I believe, is the last time a non-Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger, and Peyton Manning quarterback one went to it. And I believe that was who was the quarterback for the Raiders when they got blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Rich Gannon?
Rich Gannon. I knew it started with a G. Rich Gannon. So think about that. Rich Gannon is the last guy not named those four guys to make it to the Super Bowl for the AFC. I think it's we need a shuffle of the deck here. We talk about, we criticize the NBA for the Warriors going every year. Maybe we need to criticize the NFL for one half of the league only sending really three guys to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, I think that's a good setup, Chris America, because I think on the other side of the commercial break, I might just have a Who's Your Daddy segment for you, and it may just be about your AFC parody. Well, let's wait and see. So for all those listeners out there, we'll be back after a quick commercial break. On the flip side, you need to listen to this Who's Your Daddy? Been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Ah, 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. Podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?
Hey, everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Thank you, and welcome back. We appreciate all of the listeners out there, all the fans. We love you guys. Thank you for listening in. Once again, we're Scout Team Radio. He's Chris America. I'm Loudbeard. We bring it to you hot and live each and every morning. We come on live at 6 a.m. on 12-ounce sports radio. We replay at 11 a.m. on 12-ounce sports radio. We record each and every episode as a podcast. That podcast is aired on our partner podcast network, Barnburner. Make sure you check them out, barnburner.ca. We also have the podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and our new and redesigned website, scoutteamradio.com. If you haven't had an opportunity, check out our website, scoutteamradio.com. It is a blast, I promise. And we also like to get social, right? So hit us up on Twitter, at Scout Team Radio. If you tweet at us, we'll talk about your comments, your tweets. We'll talk about your topics, anything like that on the air. We'd love to do that. So, yeah, that's it. That's my thing, right? So there we go. All right, Chris America.
That's your little ditty.
How you feeling, man?
Your little spiel.
That's my little spiel. That's all we get. That's it.
Did you tell him to go to Apple Podcast and subscribe?
I didn't say the subscribe thing. That's
You got to subscribe. It's huge. It's huge.
Huge. Well, Chris America, I'm going to do a little variation who's your daddy for you today.
Okay.
Because you brought it up, and I was kind of going this way anyway, and I felt like it was the perfect segue. So you're right. AFC lacks a little parity. And the AFC has made some of the biggest splashes in free agency. We talk about the Oakland Raiders picking up Antonio Brown. We talk about the New York Jets picking up Le'Veon Bell. We talk about the Cleveland Browns picking up OBJ. But what does that mean when it comes to playoff time? So I'm going to take the AFC, and I'm going to do a who's your daddy, because I want to know who you feel will be the team that makes that big leap. Now, you and I, we're not going to be crazy with this, because I know that the Patriots are always going to be the Patriots and they're going to be in that conversation. So I'm not going to say, oh, do you think the Jets or the Patriots? Who's your daddy? Because that's crazy, right? Same thing with the Chiefs. With Patrick Mahomes, I mean, the Chiefs, they're hot. So I'm going to take the Chiefs and the Patriots and I'm just going to give them a pass, right? They're already there. But I think the rest of the AFC, absolutely wide open. So I want to get your who's your daddy. I'm going to go through each division, and I want to know if there is one team to come out of the AFC East other than the Patriots, the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills, or the New York Jets. Now that we've seen this free agency madness, we've seen Le'Veon Bell go to the Jets. Can they make that leap out of those three teams, Chris America?
Who's your daddy?
Ooh. I guess I have to go reluctantly with the Jets, but man, these three teams have not figured it out in the last 18 years, right?
Right.
I mean, it took Tom Brady going down for the Miami Dolphins to win in 2008, and they barely got that. They needed a wildcat offense. They needed some luck along the way. I mean, it was just one of those weird flash in the pan type deals. So, I mean, I honestly want to say they all missed the playoffs again, because while they did get Le'Veon Bell, I don't think that's enough to get them over the proverbial hump that the Jets have been stuck behind for the last several years. Especially with other divisions in the AFC, I feel like they are a lot stronger, a lot deeper, and can send other teams to the wild card outside of the AFC East.
All right, so you're going nobody's your daddy today.
Yeah, I think out of the AFC East, man, if I got to make a pick, it's the Jets, and it's only because they signed Le'Veon Bell, where the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins are, I got to see the draft, I guess, because free agency trades, nothing really has come to fruition to make me go, oh, yeah, they're ready to strike.
All right, well, I guess you're not hoping for that big leap for Josh Allen in his second year, or the big leap for Sam, I almost said Bradford.
Oh, God, don't say Sam Bradford.
Okay, I'm not going to say. Okay, moving on. So, okay, we'll go. All right, Jets, possibly. That's a tough one. Now, it gets a little bit better. So, AFC North. AFC North. So, this is an interesting division. You have the Ravens, who won the division last year at 10-6. You have the Steelers, who were right outside of that at 9-6-1, but then you had the Browns at 7-8-1 and the Bengals at 6-10. So in this division, Ravens, Steelers, Browns, Bengals, I want to know, Chris America, after all of this free agency madness,
who's your daddy?
All right, see, now we're talking here. And I mentioned how there's other divisions in the AFC that are much deeper than the AFC East, and man, this one is probably the deepest in the AFC, because you just mentioned four teams that I believe can possibly make it to the playoffs. Now, you're saying Bengals. How can the Bengals make it? Well, you add in a hot new coach, Zach Taylor, who may or may not be one of the big reasons why the Rams have done so well the last 2 years. We'll find that out. But we watched Sean McVay go in and inject his coaching style into the hapless, lifeless Rams offense, and they became an instant playoff team, right? Remember how bad the Rams were the year before Sean McVay got there?
Yes.
And Sean McVay and Zach Taylor was a part of that.
He was, big life. Part.
Injected life into that team. So I don't know if how much of his fingerprints are all over that Rams team, if it's all Sean McVay, if Zach Taylor was a huge part of it. We'll find out this season with how good Cincy does and how good the Rams do, but I think there's a lot of potential there and a lot of reason to believe that Zach Taylor can inject that kind of life into the Bengals. So with that said, you still have the Ravens and you still have the Steelers, and you have who I am now going to crown the AFC North champions. We're going to do it, Loudbeard. For the third year in a row, we are going to predict the Browns to make the playoffs. And I think they're going to win that division. And now the Steelers didn't get better, but I don't know necessarily that they got worse losing Antonio Brown. So I can still see them making a strong push. They plug somebody else in to kind of help make up for that lack of production that Antonio Brown had. You don't necessarily completely replace him, but you can replace him with several different ways on offense. And then, this could be a division that sends three teams to the playoffs.
Three teams? Wow. Yeah. They only had one team make it in the playoffs this past season. So that's a big one. Now, we did get a tweet in on our Twitter line, and it says, "Nah, Chris Scout team. Bengals law dictates that everyone else who tries to copy the L.A. style will do great, and the Bengals will whiff big time." The Bungles, right? Is that what we know them
the
as?
The Bungles,
is that
yeah.
what we're going with
they're,
here?
They're heading back that way, but all I said is they got reason to be excited. And you mentioned that there only one team made the playoffs for the AFC North last year. Well, the one team that I'm predicting to win the division is the Cleveland Browns. So they weren't in the playoffs, so they're going to win it. If the Ravens repeat what they did or improve on what they did last year, they can get that wild card spot. And the Steelers were one win away or one tie away from making it to the playoffs themselves. So there are three teams that are right there. And I'm not saying that the Bengals are going to make the playoffs. I'm not going that far. But if they did, and Zach Taylor were to be able to overcome the Bengals curse, I think you can see some good things happening. Don't be surprised if it happens.
All right, so AFC South. This is another deep division that could turn around pretty quickly. So we've got the Texans and the Colts both making playoffs last year. Then you've got the Titans at 9-7, barely out of that playoff picture. And then you have that wild card, the Nick Foles-led Jacksonville Jaguars. If you saw anybody coming out of this division, who is your team?
Who's your daddy?
This is another good one because it's not as deep as the AFC North, I don't think, but it could be. It's one of those ones where there's a lot of question marks. You know, is Deshaun Watson going to stay healthy enough through next season? I mean, he did last year. He played great. He led the Texans to a playoffs berth. And then is Andrew Luck going to stay healthy? Look great. Look strong. Look solid. Look like he was getting back to his old form. Those are two teams that, if their quarterback stays healthy, man, they're always a playoff contender, right? And now you added Nick Foles to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that made it to the AFC Championship 2 years ago, a team that had all the momentum going into last season, especially when they beat up on the Patriots early in the year, and then they just kind of fell apart. The wheels fell off, didn't they, Loudbeard?
Oh, yeah, they definitely fell off. But Foles could be that guy that can put those wheels back on.
So Foles can come in, inject some new life. It's going to be my phrase here, inject new life into the offense. But we mentioned it before, they have to build a team around him. They got to solidify that offensive line. They got to get some sort of consistency in that running game. And you got to get him some wide receivers, man. Mercedes, come back, my man.
Yeah, they need some help. So
but,
who's your daddy?
But if I was going to pick a daddy in this division, and we didn't even mention the Titans. And the Titans kind of become the forgotten team because they've made some moves, right? They've signed some players, but they're not Nick Foles signings. They're not anything major like OBJ coming to Cleveland to where you're like, yep, they finally overcame the hump. I think this could either be a two-team or a one-team. I don't see three teams coming from here like I did with the AFC North. I just don't see that kind of potential. The AFC South has always been a division with a lot of promise and then a lot of letdown at the end of the season.
Okay. So
did I make a pick of who's my daddy? I'm going to go with the Colts.
Okay,
I think the Colts have got it figured out.
All right, you're an Andrew Luck guy. You like Andy. Lucky Andy. Good choice. Last division, AFC West. It was led by the Kansas City Chiefs. You and I both believe that there will not be any fall off there, that the Chiefs will be leading this division next year. I mean, at least I can speak for myself saying I don't see anything stopping the Chiefs. But the other three teams are interesting. You have the LA Chargers, who had a phenomenal 12-4 season last year, but have they made any moves? And is Philip Rivers getting any younger? You've got the Broncos, who are now the Joe Flacco-led Broncos, and you have the Oakland Raiders, who have picked up one of the most dynamic wide receivers, and they have three first-round draft picks. So I ask you, in the AFC West, out of the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders,
who's your daddy?
Well, I think there's going to be some Los Angeles Charger fans out there saying, not so fast, my friend, with that I don't see anybody dethroning the Chiefs. And remember, the biggest complaint this last playoffs was that the LA Chargers, who had a really good record and should have won their division, they would have won any other division, you know, except for maybe the AFC East. But if it wasn't for the Chiefs being so red hot and so good, I mean, the Chargers were a really good team, and I believe they only were like one game back at the end of the season from being the champions with the Chiefs. And
they had the same record. They were.
They did. They had the
tiebreaker. Went to
That's
the Chiefs.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So you got to look at that. The Chargers are right there, and you mentioned the changes for the Raiders and the Broncos, and they were some good changes, some sexy changes, but a lot of times in the NFL, we get excited about teams that make moves, and we're doing it right now. We're hyping up the Cleveland Browns. We're hyping up the Jets. We're hyping up this team. We're hyping up that team. And a lot of times it's the teams that stay put, the teams that don't make many moves, that just kind of get better within their own program, add one or two non-sexy pieces but essential pieces to their team, and then they end up winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I see that
Patriots do that every year, right?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, exactly. I see that being the Chargers and the Chiefs. I see them that, you know, the Broncos and the Raiders, they made some valiant efforts. And again, the draft is still coming a month away. We'll see what they do there. And we can reevaluate everything that we're saying right now. But I don't see that the Broncos or the Raiders made up any bit of that huge gap between them and the Chargers and Chiefs.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So the Chiefs are obviously my daddy. I'm going to agree with you, but the Chargers, don't count them out.
Don't count the Chargers out. Now, I was high on that Chargers train. I liked Philip Rivers. I had him on the MVP hunt earlier in the season, but
he let you down.
After they got blown out by the Patriots in the playoffs, I lost a little bit of that confidence.
They do it to everybody, man. They've been doing it for years.
Oh, it's just Let down after letdown after letdown.
Letdown City.
All right. Hey, on a side note, I'm going to steer in a different direction. I just wanted to let you know that last night I signed up for this Minuteman Madness Challenge. We had a tweet in earlier from Mike Berlon. If he's still listening, the crew over at Craft Brew Sports with Mike and Scotty, these guys, they set up a March Madness bracket every year with Minuteman Madness. You can go to MinutemanTickets.com and look for the College Hoops You Pick 'Em deal that they've got going on. They've got a group. You search Craft Brewed Sports. You join that group, and we're looking to have a huge group this year, a big competition. So I would like all of our listeners out there to check out Minuteman Tickets and sign up for this March Madness group. You're listening to Loudbeard right now, and I will be on there, and I'm going to be really going for the money this year. My bracket will be totally lit. Chris America, you need to do the same. Get on there. Minuteman tickets. Look for that Minuteman Madness. Or if you go to Craft Brewed Sports or at Craft B Sports on Twitter, they have a link that you can get right to it. So check that out. It is going to be a good time because March Madness is here. And the best thing about March Madness is all the upsets. And number one, Gonzaga gets upset last night by St. Mary's, 60-47. We're already feeling the Cinderella stories come up out. So St. Mary's gets their bid to the big dance after defeating number one Gonzaga. This is what it's all about. This is why I love March.
So you picked all 16 seeds to make the Final Four, right?
Yeah. Oh, big time. All 16 seeds.
You're like, I don't
seeds.
Even know who the teams are. I'm just going to fill out my bracket with 16 seeds all the way down.
I usually do it with my dartboard. I put the teams on my dartboard and then throw, and then whoever I land on. And I've actually had more success doing that than actually trying to pick winners.
Yeah, I usually go by uniforms.
Yeah.
Who has
mascots?
The coolest uniforms? Yep, mascots.
A lot of people
too.
Do the mascots. What is it? The Richmond Tarantulas?
The Spiders.
Whatever. Yeah. I like those guys. That's a cool mascot.
I mean, I'm still like trying to figure out what a Hokie is.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a turkey, but I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. None whatsoever. Okay, I'm going to move on to some other sports here. We talked yesterday about Russell Westbrook having this little altercation with the fan. Well, the NBA and the Utah Jazz have permanently banned the fan that got into the altercation with Russell Westbrook. Was this the right move?
Yes, without a doubt, that was the right move. We mentioned it yesterday. Fans have got to act right. And when you look into the history of this guy, he has a history on Twitter of saying racial and just vulgar things at Westbrook. And so you see a trend, you see a pattern, and time to go, man. You don't get to be here. And anybody, I listened to his interview after the show, and anybody who still says bro like a college frat boy when they're 45, I mean, you should just ban him on that alone.
Come on, bro.
I mean, it's one thing to say bro, but it, like the way you said it just sounded, you'd have to listen to the interview to know
like,
what I'm talking
bro.
About. It sounded like, chill out, bro. Like, what's going on here, bro? Yeah, come on. Dude, you're 45.
Yeah. Not digging it, huh?
No, not digging the bro frat boy talk when you're 45 years old. Grow up, dude.
Yeah, now Russ got a $25,000 fine. You think that was all right?
Yeah, especially since a lot of people were like, oh, he should get a game suspension. No, at this, I believe he should have maybe made better choices, but given the circumstances that he was in, I blame the NBA for putting him in that position. He is a human being. And when people are telling you to get on your knees like you used to, I don't know how else you are expecting somebody to react with that, especially with the racial tensions and everything that's been going on lately in today's society. He's acting human, and I'm not going to fault him for that. Now, $25,000 fine is a slap on the wrist for him. The NBA has to do something to say, look, you can't tell fans that you're going to fight them and their wife.
Yeah,
and
that was a bad look.
You can't be using the F-bomb and all this other stuff. Like, we still have a decorum we need to, like, show. So I think that was, like, the bare minimum the NBA could have done to show that they were going to do something. But I'm glad that they held the bit. They didn't suspend him for a game or really lash out on him. But we mentioned it. Like, I'm pretty sure they do have some security down there. But the security needs to do more of, like, a. It's one thing to have a fan say, hey, buddy, a good game or you suck. But to have a full-on conversation, I think that's when the NBA security needs to step in to the fan and say, look, we're done here. You're not going to talk to our players like that. Either shut up or get out.
Yeah, and this is a problem. Donovan Mitchell, who is the star for the Utah Jazz, he comes out and makes a statement. And I'm going to just read it to you real quick and get your response or feedback here on our last couple minutes of the show. I am personally hurt by the incident at the game on March 11th. As a black man living in a community I love and playing on a team that gives me the opportunity to live out my dreams, this incident hits close to home. Racism and hate speech hurts us all, and this is not the first time something like this has happened in our arenas.
No, it's not, and sadly it's not going to be the last, but we need to shut it down. We mentioned it yesterday. These guys have a right to go to work with little to no hostility. Again, we understand what it is. You're an athlete. You're going to have some boos. You're going to have some you sucks. You're going to have some go F yourselves. And while it's not exactly ideal, you can't police everything, right? But racism and racial epithets and racial slurs and other and homophobic slurs and things of that sort, the vulgarity, that's when we need to step in and say, look, it's time for you to go.
Yeah, that or if you say, hey, you should sell the team, that's when you do a lifetime ban also. Those two reasons.
Get on your knees like you used to and you should sell the team. Totally
the same
thing.
Yeah, those are the worst. Absolutely the worst. Last quick reaction out of you. Charles Barkley says, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are not tough enough to play in New York. Agree or disagree?
Agree. And this is another story we missed. Charles Barkley invites LeBron James to come do playoff basketball with him and the boys at TNT.
Nice. That is a great story. And guess what, Chris America? LeBron is back. 36 points last night. 123-107 win over Chicago. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's back.
The Lakers, they're back. But LeBron on TNT would be hot.
Just want to say you're welcome to House and Techno Lover for the thanks. She's saying thanks for following us.